For more than 100 years, the middle of the summer has signaled the Tour de France annual bike race across France. This year, due to the pandemic, the world's most watched bike race is delayed, but there is a heavily watched virtual one going on every weekend.
We look down then on the avatars of the riders in this virtual Tour de France.
World-class bike riders and teams are racing against each other on their own bikes at the same time, often from their homes. And the world is watching them bike and play what looks like a video game. I recently spoke with Eric Min, the CEO of Zwift, the company enabling this virtual tour, and racer Lauren Stevens, a professional cyclist who recently won the second stage of the virtual Tour de France.
As they make their way across the line, who takes it? It looked to me like Lauren Stevens, I think, may well have taken the stage.
First of all, congratulations. You're a winner of the stage of the Tour de France. You don't get to say that very often. Most people don't understand what's happening here. You're riding in Dallas, Texas, where you are now, and you're competing in a virtual race. How does this work?
So our bikes are set up on what we call a trainer.
Think of it like a treadmill for a bike.
And what that does is gives resistance to our bike. So if we go up a hill, it's going to put more resistance on our bike. And if we're going downhill, we'll get less resistance.
So everybody's feeling the hill, so to speak.
Right. The other component is at the crank of our bike where we pedal, it measures our output.
So there's basically a video game representation of you riding in a race against video representations of everyone else. This has to take some getting used to, considering what you grew up doing was riding a bike against real people in the real world.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different than riding outside.
Riders are racing from all over the world at the same time, some from New Zealand at 2 a.m. Many from their basements or garages. You can see how hard the riders are working, how many watts their legs are generating, and how fast their hearts are beating to do it.
You can't feel your components. You can't see if they're getting tired or if they're slowing down. Everyone's avatars, you know, look happy and fast and full of energy. So it's a lot of internal motivation in your living room. The other thing on Zwift is you're pedaling 98% of the time, where outside, you know, you go down a hill or you're coming to a stop, like you ease off. But on Zwift, you're pedaling all the time.
Virtual racing means Stevens has had to learn a thing or two. When you got on this platform, you were competing against people who are not pros, but are still pretty good.
When I first got onto the platform there's people I've never even raced outside, or they haven't even raced outside, and they're racing on this virtual platform. And at the beginning, you know, they're beating me, and I had a lot to learn. It was a new discipline for me, and I think I've figured out a lot of it now.
So they all use some power-ups, and Lauren Stevens is the winner of that stage.
We have the liberty of doing something you can't do in the real world. For example, having these special powers.
This is Eric Min, the CEO of Zwift, the company that connects all the bike treadmills together.
You can go through different gates within the circuit of our maps and collect these random power-ups. And they can make you faster for a short period of time. They can make you lighter. In other cases, it takes away the ability for the riders behind you to take advantage of your draft. And sometimes you can go invisible for 10 seconds and you have to use these power-ups very strategically. And if you know how to play the game, you have a huge advantage over someone who thinks they're just strong. So just being strong is not enough to do well on Zwift.
How many people are watching this virtual Tour de France on television?
We have 20 broadcasters around the world covering about 140 countries, the same broadcasters that would have covered the Tour de France during the month of July is covering the virtual Tour de France. So it's in the millions.
So millions of people are watching what looks like a video game play out. What are you learning from that?
The fact that you can, you know, compete on a global scale from the comfort of your home. The fact that there's no travel and time wasted to get to your events. On balance, it's an incredibly affordable, accessible, global sport that we're creating.
You know, we talked to Lori Stevens this morning, but, you know, one of the things that is hard to replicate is being able to figure out whether that rider next to you is getting tired or not, whether they look like they have more in their legs, or whether maybe you should try to pass them now because this is it. They're weak. They're on the ropes.
We're not trying to replicate outdoor riding or racing. We're trying to create a whole new version of it. It's not a 6-hour bike race. It's a 1-hour race. So it's much more intense. And as a viewing proposition, it's much more dynamic and exciting.
Unlike the real Tour de France, where women only compete in the last stage, these virtual race days all have women's races, same courses, same difficulty. It's something both Min and Stevens see as a positive sign. Lauren Stevens still has stages left to race in this year's virtual tour. We wish her well. Last night's women's race was won by Tanja Erath, a doctor from Germany who became a professional cyclist by winning a competition through the Zwift Academy.
It looks as if Tanja Erath has taken the win here.